Okay. Welcome back. Today we're going to do the second part of introduction to Tikkun HaMidos. Hopefully next week we'll actually start jumping into a specific midah, so we'll really start working on our midos. But I do think it's important to take a step back before we actually jump in to introduce midos. Today I'm going to discuss just a couple of general ideas like we did last time about working on our midos in general, working on our character traits, and hopefully this will push us forward when we actually start working on specific midos. Okay, we ended last time with a question. And the question is, why is it important for us to work on our character traits? And we put on the board three answers. We only put one on the board. I want to get to those three answers because if we're going to do something, it's important for us to know why we're doing it. Okay? So just right here, importance of, we'll just categorize it as Tikkun HaMidos. And last time we spoke about one reason, which I would put as a second reason, but we could put it as the first reason this week. That is because we're trying to build our personality for no other reason than just to be a better person. Build our personality. Like we ended off last time, right? We asked, why is it not the best thing for a person to cheat on a test? Because then you're defined as a cheater. Each individual, I think, wants to, the deepest parts of our existence, we want to be a good person. We want to be a good person, we want to feel good. And therefore, just to build our personality. And that's what we saw the Rambam. He says, when you do tshuva, you don't just do tshuva from bad actions, but also from just having a bad character trait, even if you don't act on that character trait. So for example, if a person has a lot of anger inside, even if he doesn't act on that anger, a person should work on that to try to get himself to a level where he doesn't even get angry in the first place. So just having the bad character trait itself affects a person's personality. That would be reason number one. Okay, any other suggestions as to why it's important for us to work on our character traits? Okay, so the second reason is the following. Tikkun HaMidos, working on our character traits, obviously is a small part, or a part, a large part, of our Avodas Hashem, but we have a lot of other goals in our Avodas Hashem. Like, we daven, we learn, there are a lot of other goals that we have. Second reason why we want to work on our character traits is because the only way that we can fully accomplish our goal as a Avodas Hashem in the general sense is by working on our character traits. So we'll say, achieve goals in Avodas Hashem. What do I mean? The mashal that they give, is, imagine you have a beautiful Kiddush cup. It's Friday night, you're so excited to make Kiddush. It's a huge cup. Or imagine a Kosher Eliyahu on the Seder night. And you're filling up the cup with your favorite wine. And you keep filling it up, filling up, filling it up. It's the most beautiful cup in the entire world. But if the cup has a small hole at the bottom, so the wine is not going to stay in the cup. And it's the same idea. Our character traits are those things that are going to keep everything else inside of us. For us to be a whole and complete Jew, we need to perfect ourselves with perfect, hopefully perfect, character traits. But if we keep putting inside of ourselves Torah and Tefillah and Chesed and everything that encompasses the life of a Jew, but the Tikkun HaMidos, but our Midos are not perfect, everything's just going to fall out of that cup. This is the idea of what we call Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. What does it mean, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah? Right? This is a quote from the Pirkei Avos. So what is it, what's the basic translation of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah? Right, meaning the idea of the Derech Eretz, which we call Derech Eretz, being nice, you know, interpersonal relationships, comes before Torah. What does it actually mean? So one of the Mefarshim says as follows. Listen to this. Rotz Lomar. What does this phrase actually mean? Shetzarech Techilai. A person needs to first. Litakein Atzmo Mevidos. A person needs to first fix themselves with their character traits. Ubazen. Only through that, Tishakein Atarala. The Torah itself will be able to come into a person. Meaning without Derech Eretz, doesn't mean Derech Eretz Kal Torah. So maybe you should be a nice person. No, what it really means is that without Derech Eretz, Torah can't accomplish its goal in terms of transforming a person. We know you sit down in front of a Gemara, you sit down in front of a Chumash, you learn God's wisdom, and it hopefully has an effect on you. But if a person doesn't first work on their Derech Eretz, Torah is not going to do anything to that person. As he continues, it's Rabbeinu Yonah, She'inena shochenes. Torah cannot reside la'olam at all, beguf, in a body, She'ino ba'al midot tovos. Torah cannot affect a person, cannot reside in a person who does not have good midos. So again, the second reason of being that in order to achieve greater goals in Avodas Hashem, a person needs to perfect his cup before the wine can go inside. We know there are 600... Yes?
Isn't it awesome that through the Torah itself and through the learning that we are able to build the cup and build what's inside a life?
Very good, yes. So they do work in tandem. And this is not to say, right, if you took this to the extreme, that would mean that, you know, for the first 80 years of your life, you work on Derech Eretz, you don't learn any Torah, first perfect yourself, and then learn Torah. So that's obviously impossible. Right? It's more the general idea that a person, hand in hand with studying Torah, should be a class on Tikkun Olam, should be learning the Sefer Olam HaMidos. Right? They need to come hand in hand. But it's not that, you know, exclusively you focus the first, you know, again, 80 years of your life on working on HaMidos, and then only after that, studying Torah. But they do come hand in hand.
So I feel like someone who's learning Torah is, that's going to naturally help them become better.
100%, which is why, as we asked last time, has anyone here in their own elementary schools or high schools had a class on perfecting their character traits? I don't think anyone here said yes. Because some would say, you know what, study Torah, and Torah itself will have that effect. And that for sure is true. At the same time, there also needs to be some actual work. But you're making a very, very good point. Okay, we know there are 613 mitzvahs. Okay, if I was to ask you, does this mitzvah of Tikkun HaMidos, does that fall into the category? Any of the 613? Can you think of one of the 613?
I feel like because you're asking that, the answer is no.
Oh, okay, good. Now, so some, look, there could be some. One of the Ten Commandments is Lo Tachmon. Don't covet. Don't have jealousy. So we're going to speak about kinah, so you could say maybe there's a specific midah there. But in terms of the overall idea of working on our midos, that we will actually get to a source soon. But we'll forget about the source that I'll discuss in a couple of minutes. Let's assume for a second, no. Right? You open up, start on Sefer Bereishis, go all the way down to Sefer Devarim, you can't find anything. It doesn't say the mitzvah of l'takin midosecha. It doesn't say that anymore. Why would that be? So, similar idea, Rav Chaim Vital, he's one of the star students of the Arizal, and he says in his sefer, the reason why the mitzvah, which is a mitzvah, to work on ourselves, to work on our character traits, is not one of the 613, is because it comes before the 613. A person can only start to approach mitzvahs, a person can only start approaching Torah like this, Derech Eretz Kadam LaTorah, because this has to be Kodem. And therefore, it's not one of the 613. It's a prerequisite. A person first works on themselves, try to make themselves a better person, and then only afterwards can a person say, you know what, I'm ready now to tackle the 613. So that's what he says. Again, this idea, and again, it's not to say that a person should exclusively work on Tikkun HaMidos, but it's central and needs to even come before a person. It could be a boy and a girl at 12, but a boy at 13 is only obligated in all mitzvos at 13. Before that, depending on what age he is, a father has an obligation to teach his son based on that mitzvah to be mechanic him, but there officially there's no mitzvahs. It could be that before a boy is 13, you know what the big mitzvah is? Working on his midos. And that's the job of parents. The job of parent from the time a boy is 0 until he's 13 is maybe to work on those character traits. That's mainly the parenting that happens in the house. Right? How to deal with siblings, how to deal with friends, how to deal with... And that's something that a parent can kind of, okay, you're going to take on old mitzvahs, you're going to take on the 613 in a couple of years, we're going to start working on your interpersonal relationships, working on yourself before you start working on the 613. That's reason number two. Okay, reason number three, and this might be the most important here, and that is to be God-like. Okay? So, if you'd ask me again, what's the source for working on our midos? There is a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk in the Torah, we'll just quote two words from it. It says, "Ve'halachta." Anyone finish with the phrase? "Ve'dracha." Very good. Okay, "Halachta ve'dracha." Okay. And truthfully, the Rambam quotes this as a source for having proper midos. That this, if someone asked you, what's the source? You can say there's no source, or you can say this is the source. "Ve'halachta ve'dracha." Following God's ways. And in a number of Gemaras, the Gemara discusses, just like Hashem does X,
Just like Hashem visits the sick, just like Hashem is merciful, so too v'halach d'midracha. We need to follow in God's ways. We need to follow in God's ways. And the closer a person, the more a person works on his midos, the closer a person comes to God. We come close to God by studying Torah. We come close to God by davening to Him. You know, another way we come close to God is by changing ourselves. When we are born very selfish. Right? If I was to ask what's the most selfish being in the whole world, it's a six-month-old, right? They'll cry as much as they want in the middle of the night. They don't care their parents are really tired, right? Their parents just change them and they'll spit up all over. They don't care. They're very, very selfish. Hashem tells us, you need to become a better person. A person starts very selfish, start becoming a person who's giving as you get older. That's by Lach LeBedracha. And hopefully, at the end of a person's life, when he's 120, he could say, I became as godlike as I could be. How did I do that? By perfecting my midos. And that's why it is sad for people to go through life and not to, for one second, spend working on their anger, working on their jealousy. Because at the end of life, you're not going to be godlike. And like we said last time, there are certain midos a person is born with. A person may be naturally nice. That doesn't mean on the list that we gave out last time that there are another five you didn't work on. And for a person to go through life and not to work on those midos, and to always get frustrated in the same situations, to always desire honor, not to be happy in life, and not to be humble, that's a problem. Why is it a problem? Not just because you're not building yourself up as a person, not just because you can't achieve your goals, but you won't be godlike. And as we all know, the goal in life is to connect ourselves to God. And like I said, we connect ourselves to God through Torah, through Tefillah, through Chesed. You know how we also connect ourselves to God? By being like Him. And the greatest way we can be like God is by working on our character traits.
Where do we find this pasuk?
It's found in Devarim chapter 28, pasuk 9. Check it out there, 28:9 in Devarim. Okay, so then the pasuk is by Lach LeBedracha.
Can you also get it from Psalm 11?
What in?
Like that Hashem created you like Himself.
Okay.
Therefore,
you're saying automatically?
No, but like you should aspire to be, you should aspire to be godly.
Oh, you're saying another. You're saying you're adding to this?
Yeah.
For sure, 100%. Tzav Elokim is another thing. You want to be like God, and then even I have another quote here from another Gemara. This there's another pasuk says, "Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Tilechu." Follow God. The Gemara says, "How do you follow God? Isn't God a fire? A fire? So Hashem is a fire. How do you follow God? So it says, follow His midos." Dress those people who don't have clothing. Yes, there are many sources. Very, very good. Some Elokim, other sources as well. Very, very good. Okay. So that's it for this section. Now, another general introduction to working on ourselves, and that's the following. I'll introduce you to a concept. One of my rabbis introduced this to me, and I think it's a really... I use this in many contexts, but specifically when you're working on mitos. Okay, there's a difference between what he called behavior modification, okay, behavior, okay, all the markers are over. Behavior modification and character development, okay? Behavior modification, anyone here took psych or will take psych? Behavior modification versus character development. When I say that, what anyone have any thoughts about what this means? What's the difference between behavior modification and character development? Yes, Sam.
I'm guessing that behavior modification is just changing the outcome of your feelings. Character development is actually changing your cognition and how you perceive things in the process.
Oh, very good. So outcome versus like more like internal?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Seems like behavior modification is straying away from the negative and character development is moving towards the positive.
Interesting. So I say this is what we call sor meira. And this is Asetov. Interesting, okay? So I'll share with you a story. Story goes like this. There was a Hasidic Rebbe who had a tish on Friday night. Okay, like all good Hasidic Rebbes. And he has his tish, and there are so many Hasidim around him, and they're singing, and they're dancing, and they're so excited. And then, in the middle of the tish, the Rebbe just starts laughing. Okay, he's laughing. Like it's like a little weird. Like, why is he laughing? You know, fish? And then he starts crying. Okay, so now it's getting really weird, right? Like, everyone's there. He's in the middle there. Everyone's dancing and singing. And he starts laughing. And then he starts crying. What's going on? So he stops everyone. Everyone's quiet in the crowd. The Rebbe gets up to speak. He says, why am I laughing? Why am I crying? I'll tell you a story. Something that just popped into my head just right now. And I realized that I'll share with you, not just to explain why I just was crying and laughing, but I think it's a really great lesson. And he shares the following story. He said, there was a family. And this family were very into Hachmasos Orchim. They always liked having guests for Shabbos. And at some point in their lives, they said to each other, the husband said to the wife, and the wife says to the husband, starting from this coming Shabbos, we're going to make a neder. We're going to take upon ourselves a neder that we are going to always have guests for Shabbos. Now this family lived down in some shtetl in Europe. They said, no matter what happens, we're always going to make sure we have guests. Now generally, people would pass through their town. Anytime someone would pass through their town, go on a journey, they stopped them, hey, you want to spend some time here for Shabbos? It was very, very easy generally to get guests. One week, it's in the heat of the winter, right in the middle of the winter, December, January. It's very, very cold outside, very snowy, and there's no one walking through. They don't say they don't see one on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're a little nervous because they made this neder. They're going to have guests every single Shabbos. What are they going to do? Comes Friday, there are no guests for Shabbos. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So, father has an idea. What's his idea? They have a horse in their backyard. They have a horse. What do they do? He asks his son to take a shirt and a tie and a jacket and to go out to the horse and to put on this, onto this horse, this suit, and maybe to put a little hat on the horse. And they're going to bring this horse. Don't bring the horse inside the house, it's too small. But they'll stick the head of the horse into the window, into the house. And this horse is going to their guests for Shabbos. And that's what they do. They're so elated. They had a guest for the Shabbos. And they move on with their lives. Okay, the Rebbe stops the story. Okay? What is going on? So, the Rebbe says, first I was laughing because it's a pretty silly story, right? They're dressing up this horse to bring him to the house. Then I started crying. You know why I started crying? Because this horse and this family represents each and every one of us. He says, too often, we have certain goals in life. Their goal was to be machnas orchim, but we accomplish those goals in the wrong way. We focus too much on what we call the chitzonius, the external. Right? We want to be really firm. We want to dress a certain way. We want to do things that on the outside seem really, really great. And it seems like we're changing on the outside. But yet internally, says the Rebbe to his chassidim, internally we're not changing. You may have someone who wants to work in the davening. All they're doing is shuckling and shuckling and shuckling. So the outside, from an outsider's standpoint, wow, this guy's a lot of kavana. And inside, he's thinking about the Yankees eating. Right? So the Rebbe is saying, it's a silly story, but unfortunately, it's very true about how we, unfortunately, lose our lives sometimes. But we try to make external changes, what we would call behavior modification. We just modify the behavior. You know what we did? We took a horse. He was our guest for Shabbos. That's not really a horse. That's not really a guest for Shabbos. A horse is not a guest. It looks on the outside like, that's not really a guest. Says the Rebbe, we need to focus more on character development. The person needs to try to develop himself. Now, I'll take your definition in terms of the external versus the internal. Okay? Shomer HaSitok, also very, very good. I want to take it in a different direction, and that is external versus internal. Okay? And truly, this story is really not only for Tikkun Amidos, for anything that we do in life, in terms of Judaism, right? Are we doing it externally, or just modifying our behavior so that our parents say, hey, it looks like you're doing a good job, or really working on ourselves from the inside, what we would call character development. And that would be the internal. So, of course, when it comes to Tikkun Amidos, this is central. We need to make real change. Real change. And as we start working through each and every midah, we need to keep this in the back of our minds. When we are working on, again, anger, let's say for example, the changes that we're making to our behavior, are those just external? Or do we have real internal change? How do we know the difference? So we'll discuss that. Usually, external change will wear off after a while. Yeah, you're shuckling too much, it just gets too boring. Right? You get too tired of shuckling too much and you just give it up. Someone who sincerely works in their davening will be a sincere davener forever. It doesn't mean it always will be easy. But once they've accomplished and conquered davening, it's going to be a part of them forever. So too with certain midos. Okay? And this is why, this is really, really important to recognize, there's a pasuk in Mishlei. I'll just write the last few words of the pasuk. The pasuk says, V'atz viraglayim viraglayim hotein. Someone who is very quick with their legs is a sinner. Why someone who's quick with, someone who's a runner? It's a bad thing. So it says the Vilna Gaon, says the Gra in this pasuk, says like this: Raglayim refers to midos. Someone who's quick with their midos is a sinner. What does that mean? You're quick with your midos, you're a sinner. Says the Gra. Listen to this. When a person is starting to work on their midos and become accustomed to being a nicer person, to being less angry, it eventually becomes second nature. Listen to this. What's a darga? A level. A person needs to go from level to level. Like a person's walking on a sulam, like a ladder. Person needs to go from level to level. Don't jump from 0 to 60 in 1 second. A person needs to take level to level. What does it mean when you run with your legs? You're a sinner. You know what it means? You're jumping too far at once. You're jumping to a high level. You're a chote. You know what's going to happen? You're going to jump too high, you're going to fall right away. So it's critical to realize, on the one hand, we want character development, we want real change. We want real change. But, for better or for worse, hopefully for better, it takes time. It takes time. And therefore, this is why it's a lifelong endeavor. To say I'm going to conquer my midos. I'm going to take mida by mida. I'm really going to work at it. For some midos, it may take me a couple of weeks. And for some midos, it may take years. You know what Rishon Solander said? He said it's easier to finish shas than it is to change one mida. That's a pretty significant statement. It's easier to finish shas than to, you know why? Because it really takes change. It takes being honest with ourselves to really see, like we started with last time, that sheep. Try to analyze, assess where am I right now, where do I want to get to. But it's going to take time. And we have one more minute. I'll just finish off with one final point. I have to say here, let's see. Okay, final point, and that's the final one. And that is, we need to work on our midos, the final point for today, we need to work on our midos to the extent that we're actually tested for that midah. What do I mean? Imagine if someone said, you should just know, I am perfect in anger. Perfect. I never got angry at anyone. My whole entire life, right now I'm 65, I never ever got angry. Wow, that's very impressive. Where do you live? I live on an island with no people on the island. Like, if somebody's living on an island with no people, obviously you're not going to get angry because you're never tested. You're never married. Right? You never had children. A person needs to be tested, and therefore a person needs to be, and this is the final point for today, a person needs to be honest with themselves whenever they're working on the midah. Have I been tested in that area? Meaning, I'm working on a certain midah. That doesn't mean we should put ourselves in a situation in which you're going to be tested, but let me see, have I actually worked to a level where I'm, so for example, let's say a person's working on his kibud avayim, for example, okay? So, for those people who don't have a father here in the room, or don't, let's say, aren't in touch like this with their parents during the year, so to say you're perfect in your kibud avayim while you're in yeshiva doesn't mean anything because you're not with your parents. Go back for Pesach, be home for a month with your parents, and now you can really see if you've made that change. So before we jump to any conclusions that we are perfect or we've accomplished or conquered a certain midah, we need to be tested in that midah in order to tell ourselves, you know what? I was with my siblings. Usually I get upset at them over Pesach. I was fine. And I really was nice to them. It doesn't mean it wasn't challenging. But then you could give yourself a pat on the back. I accomplished. Now I can move on to the next midah. Okay? We'll stop here. Believe neither. Next Sunday, we'll start with our first midah. Okay? Shalom.